Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 95, not 94 as it says on the show notes there, Sean.
I'm just changing it.
95 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford.
95, wow.
Yeah, I know, getting close to your age, eh?
Yeah, won't be long.
How's tricks, you okay?
Yeah, good. I've actually been up in the attic and the flooring is half done.
And you didn't fall through, you haven't come through the ceiling yet?
No, I've jumped up and down and it's still good.
I want full stress tests, I want it signed off by a builder.
So I've suspended the floor, I see, so it's good.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
We're getting close, folks.
We're getting close.
We'll have a grand unveiling, a video, like live Google Hangout video when we go up there for the first time.
Champagne.
Very cool.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Spring is sort of coming again still, little by little.
Yeah.
I had a good weekend up in Newcastle with some uni pals. Oh, I don't go to uni anymore.
So when did you last see them?
It's probably been a good year or so. We do try and meet up fairly regularly, but we're starting to slip a little bit because, well, actually, I think I'm the only dad amongst them. They're all still playing catch-up a bit there. But they've got dogs and stuff and houses and businesses and all that.
I'm a dad, they've got dogs.
Yeah, dads versus dog people, like, annoying.
It's wonderful.
They don't know what's coming. Newcastle's brilliant. You've been up there recently?
Yeah, I love it.
Such a cool city, man. Yeah. My hometown, really.
I'm amazed what they've done with it. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Really got to love the waterfront and all that.
Yeah, the quayside there is beautiful.
Art gallery and stuff. It's great.
So you had a bit of a bender with those guys. It was a good laugh.
Yeah.
Nice to have a little night away with them. And it's actually, well, I didn't realise till I was driving up, but it's 10 years since I finished university up there in Newcastle. So had a bit of a celebration for that, but yeah, it was all kind of the realisation that we're all getting older, and that was a bit, not depressing, but yeah, it was a little bit actually.
Yeah.
It was good times. Anyway, we're talking about anxiety this week, aren't we, Sean?
We are.
Because a listener called Rachel emailed in and reminded us that we've been saying for a while that we revisit this topic, which I think we did way back when on one of the earlier episodes.
Yeah.
I think in reality, anxiety is one of those things that just kind of feed into a lot of things we talk about.
I think that anxiety, the two magic things are anxiety and depression, which either are dominant one or the other, or one feeds off the other, because we have a depressed past. We can be anxious about the future because we think we're going to relive the past, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So do you ever get anxious?
I guess I do, yeah. Mainly, it's almost always related to work stuff, like upcoming deadlines, or maybe, before going to bed, I'll realise that I haven't done something, or that I've got a big job to do the next day and I'm under a lot of pressure to get something done. That's usually when I'm at my best work-wise, actually, which probably isn't too healthy, but that's just the way I do things.
When we were talking about earlier on, I was trying to identify, do I feel anxious? And these days, no, I don't. As a teenager, I did.
Oh, right.
I had anxiety then. Almost like a disorder kind of anxiety. But the only thing that if I can identify any anxiety in me now, it's the feeling of there's so many things that I want to do in life. I have a feeling that I'm not going to get more done before I die.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's any anxiety that I have, it's about that, come on, got to do things and enjoy it and that kind of stuff.
Yep, yeah, the clock's ticking.
Yeah. But the idea of living in the present and enjoying the moment, but that sense of there's stuff to do here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's probably about as near as I get to it at the moment, I think.
Okay. Well, is it something that will affect... Well, it must affect everyone to one degree or another. Is this a learnt behaviour? I mean,
anxiety. I think that we have to make a distinction between anxiety, which is normal, and anxiety protects us. If we have an awareness of what might happen next, of what's around the next bend, we don't get eaten by the tiger. It's that kind of thing, yeah?
Yeah.
So from an evolutionary point of view, anxiety has been really good. The problem that we have in our society, especially the Western world, we have anxiety disorder. An anxiety disorder can either be a reactive event or a learned event.
Yeah.
The other kind of anxiety disorder that we should all be aware of is what would be a clinical anxiety, which is where your body chemistry doesn't work properly. So that in the same way that if your pancreas doesn't work so that you don't get the proper insulin, then you're diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got problems with your adrenal glands and stuff like that, you can feel states of anxiety all the time because your system's running with cortisol and adrenaline.
Okay.
And you can have like adrenal fatigue and stuff like that where it's been overrunning for so long. And those are clinical problems that are to do with your body. And they may affect us emotionally, but the root of it is clinical.
Yep.
And that's different to someone who's learned to be anxious, who's learned behaviour, or reactive anxiety where something's happened. So, say, it's like yesterday, as we're recording this now, yesterday a plane went down in the French Alps.
Yes.
Yeah, now there's a whole load of people who will see that on the news, and that will reinforce their anxiety about flying.
Yeah.
And confirm for them that flying's a bad thing, I don't want to fly, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've got a flight coming up in about a month, just over a month, with some pals. And yeah, you know, that's the first thing I kind of thought of. Like, oh, flipping heck, I've got to get a flight. I'm flying across the Alps.
But how many cars have crashed and people have died since you last went on the plane?
Mm.
But we don't think about it, we get in and out of a car.
Well, big story there, isn't it? It's very dramatic and horrendous for the families, obviously.
I mean, in the one that went down yesterday, 150 people killed, which is 150 families to me, and then extended families.
Yep.
It ripples out in communities and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
When a single person dies in a car crash, or if there's a pile-up on the motorway and six people get killed, it has less of an impact on society. When you get big planes that have got 500 people on or something like that, and then they all come down at once, then that is scary stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And there has been talk about planes that hold 1,000 people in there, you know, which is great in terms of transportation until one comes down.
Yeah. Yeah, but I did see buried away on the Independent mobile site last night I was looking at. It was an article about, you know, the real story of aviation is how safe it is.
Yeah.
You know, but it was buried away and getting too much airtime, but...
But that's the point, isn't it? Is that the relative to the amount of hours flown, the amount of people transported, it is the safest way to get about.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just trying to think now. This is a bit off the cuff. In terms of the news that we see, and because it's generally news is kind of pretty shocking and distressing and about things that aren't too pleasant. But, you know, it wouldn't be on the news if people didn't want to watch it and read about it. So, you know, we get the news that we ask for, basically. So why are we addicted to this anxiety-creating news? And
I think that's the learned habit.
You reckon?
I think as a society... I mean, obviously, it starts off with we need to be informed, don't we? If the enemy is coming over the horizon, you know, the tribe next door is coming over the horizon armed to the teeth, we need to be aware of that. So we need someone to inform us,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's going on. So we need to be informed. But we don't need to be inundated, which is what happens. And I think that's part of the habit that we develop. We believe that the world is an unsafe place.
Yep.
And yeah, there are parts of the world where it is unsafe. And that would be stupid to deny that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the majority of people in the majority of spaces for the majority of the time, there's nothing to be anxious about at all.
Sure.
You know, and the amount of times I'm sat in a consulting room with someone who may be actually having panic attacks and having anxiety attacks, and there's two of us sat in a room in complete safety, security, we're warm, we're fed, we're clothed, nothing can hurt us, nothing can harm us, and someone's breaking into panic.
Mm.
And the reason that they're breaking into panic is... On a simple level, they've learned the habit of panicking, yeah? On a more complex level, what they're doing is they're projecting forward into futures that may never happen, and they're living those futures in the present.
Yep.
Yeah? If they developed it as a good habit, then it could well be that they don't know what is actually going on
mm-hmm.
in their world.
Okay, well, how do you start to quash these anxious feelings and quell them when you're working with people?
I think in the main, we're looking at the ideas of... looking at the ideas of living in the present, as we would, And that comes down to mindfulness and comes down to things like using Headspace app and stuff like that to learn to be where you are.
Yep.
Yeah, if we move to the past, we keep regurgitating unresolved emotions, we get depressed. If we project forward into things that may never happen, to those in the present, and we start to regurgitate those as we ruminate, then we start to become anxious. And in the present, there are no problems. And anyone who's listening to this now, unless the mad axeman is stood next to you sharpening his axe, there's actually nothing to be anxious about.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there would be people listening to this that had anxiety disorder.
Yep.
Yeah? And that's the difference. To be have the alertness and the awareness of where we are and what's going on is normal. To be in a situation where we're starting to worry about what's going to happen all the time, that's a disorder. That's when it's gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that we all need to be to have that awareness.
Yep.
Of where we are, you know, and to start to explain and understand our anxieties. And although I'm not a fan of CBT, CBT is something that can be useful in a way when you're looking at anxieties, because it looks at what's the thought process that underpin the feelings.
That's cognitive behavioural therapy for those not in the know, eh?
Yeah.
So you did have that after your name for a while, or on your business card?
Well, no, I do CBT.
Wasn't it ICABT or some crazy...
What I think of it as, you see, is CBT is cognitive behavioural therapy.
Yeah.
And that leaves out emotional. So what I tend to do as a therapist, and I shall write a book on this, explain it all, what I tend to do is I do mindful, which is the M, cognitive affective, which is the emotional behavioural therapy. So you get MCABT.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, but the mindfulness brings us into the present. We're dealing with the thoughts, the feelings and the behaviours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to me that's a very Eastern approach, an Ayurvedic approach, whereas Western psychotherapy is cognitive heavy.
Right.
It goes the wrong way for me, which is why for lots of people it doesn't deal well with anxiety.
Okay.
Yeah, because anxiety is an emotional thing, not a cognitive thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feeling, not a thought. Yeah.
Okay, so what I mean, in terms of getting help, in terms of contacting a therapist, where do you draw the line between being a worrier, a worrywart, and like actually having medication becoming an issue or a necessity?
I think very much that's in the eye of the beholder. One of the problems is when you go to the general practitioner, your physician, it's reckoned that at least 60% of the people that visit the doctor visit them because they've got anxiety. They may be exhibiting other symptoms like irritable bowel syndrome, headaches, tensions. They may have stomach disorders, indigestions, all kinds of stuff, even skin disorders.
Yep.
But what's going on is that you're in a situation where the GP has to do something for you, and really they should send you to therapy, and they don't. What they do is they send you to the chemist to get a preparation that's going to reduce the symptoms, but right. Not take away the cause.
Not really the issue yet.
And if you look at our favourite relaxant, in Britain, I guess in the Western world probably, is alcohol.
Mm.
Alcohol, most people drink because they're anxious. You know, they come back from work and they've had a lousy day and they're feeling horrible about tomorrow. And so it builds up and then they start belting the booze to kind of anaesthetise it and knock it out.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I was doing a bit of that on Saturday night. Japanese whiskey. Oh, my gosh. It tastes deeper. Expensive, man. It must have been like £9 a shot.
Good grief.
And he realised when he told me the price, like, my neck. Okay,
give it a go. Have to get a mortgage to go and have a drink.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez. There's an article I found on yahoo.com. 5 things not to say to someone living with anxiety. a person that can occasionally be insensitive like me, I found this quite interesting. We'll all be working, living, dealing with people who are displaying signs of anxiety, one level or another. So I thought it was quite an interesting article in that respect. The main thing that the article was saying was to be too, or to be trying to be, you know, show empathy towards the person, not just say, you know, get over it, get on with it. There's lots of people who are softening you, mate, you know, all that kind of thing.
Put yourself together.
Yeah. So what else can we say on that front? How do we help the people around us?
I just had a flashback then to childhood. If you were anxious or something like that, the adults around would say things like, if you don't shut up and get on, I'll give you something to be anxious about. It would be that kind of message.
That's how we deal with it in the UK.
Give it a good thrash.
Get on with it. Life's tough. Get on with it.
The magic for me is Coué's law of reverse effort. Emil Coué, guy who did Every Day and Every Way, I'm Getting Better and Better.
Mm-hmm.
His law of reverse effort is that if you treat anybody's emotional problems negatively, you reinforce them, you make them worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's the imagination, the world becomes squared against each other. So that if someone is having a bad time and you say, oh, for God's sake, make the problem worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you start to treat it positively, you know, what can we do about that? How can we help? All that kind of stuff. It starts to diminish.
Yep.
Yeah. But we do that a lot, don't we? I mean, we do it with kids. You know, the kids that are upset or something, it's like, for God's sake.
Sure.
Rather than actually giving them the space to resolve it.
Don't know what you're talking about there, Sean. Yeah, and I mean, by helping people in that way and being empathetic, we can probably help our own anxiety in some sense as well, just by kind of feeding on that good bag.
What you need to focus on, what we do is when we go into anxiety, is we focus on the feeling of anxiety. If someone's good at it, they can start with a twitch in their little toe and develop it into a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they've learned the process, so they start to build and focus, breath changes, shoulders come up, they shallow breathe, and they start to build the whole anxiety state as a learned response, as a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If anyone is feeling anxiety, then grounding yourself mindfully is being able to drop your shoulders, breathe out. You may need to do 7-11 breathing,
mm-hmm.
which is breathing in for 7 and out for 11.
Yep.
Because that has an effect of each time you breathe out, the level of adrenaline and cortisol in your system comes down. It's the way your nervous system works. If you breathe out for longer than you breathe in, it has that effect on your system.
Yep.
Yeah. So you bring your system down and focus into the present. You know, what is there to be anxious about around you now? Yeah, and what happens then is the monkey in your head, the emotions in your head say, oh, it's okay for you saying that, but when I've got anxiety. And when someone's out of an anxious state, they'll say to me, I know that anyone's died of panic or anxiety. I know that I'm completely safe. And then as soon as they go into anxiety, they go, I'm dying, because they lose that logical bit.
Yeah.
And it's important to be very aware of where you are, you know, what's actually going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like even if you're in a plane, you know, and you're flying, and people aren't scared of flying, people are scared of crashing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're flying in a plane, you're not crashing, you're flying. Yeah, and it's that thing about...
Even right up to the moment where you crash.
Yeah, before you hit the ground, yeah. In Shinto, it's the issue of you box things, you put stuff in a box. If you're going to go to the dentist next week... and you're going to panic about going to the dentist, but you're not going to the dentist today, so you put it in the box, and when you get to the dentist, you can open the box and panic all you want. Yeah.
Yep.
But there's no point in panicking a week ahead and creating anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not happening, is it?
Yeah, no, I get 6 monthly blood tests for just to keep an eye on my cholesterol, which I need to go get the results, actually, because I got it done a few weeks ago and I haven't heard from them. But
that's good news.
Yeah, I guess so. They haven't been on the phone like 6 times.
Get in here quick,
get yourself in. But yeah, no, I guess I'm quite good at that in the sense that I don't really like having, I'm not a big fan of needles or having stuff, stuck in my arm. But yeah, I'm pretty cool. Cucumber all the way up to the doctors, sitting in the waiting room, even walking into the room where the phlebotomist is preparing it. But it's like, yeah, when I sit down, I can see her preparing stuff. That I did start to feel a little bit. Here we go. Deep breaths.
It always amazes me in the occupational health departments and the hospitals, the amount of nurses who deal with other people's blood and stuff all day long. When it comes to them having their own blood tests for things like hepatitis B tests and things like that,
yeah.
They have to lie down on a couch because very often they faint. Which is always strikes me as really bizarre. The amount of nurses who, when it comes to themselves, will keel over. But they do other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Pull yourself together. No, I mean, that's the wrong way to deal with it, isn't it?
Well, what they reckon is that when you see blood coming out of something, your own blood pressure drops.
Well.
And that's because if you were to wound yourself, by your blood pressure dropping, you reduce the amount of blood you'd lose.
Okay.
Yeah, but for some people, that response is so extreme that the blood comes away from the brain and off they go, boom, they've gone. Yeah. Yeah, so people just pass out.
Blimey. There's another article, healthcentral.com, I found. Again, I'll link to all these in the show notes. Livingthepresent.co.uk. I don't think I've mentioned that this week yet. about anxiety untreated and what it can lead to. And we've already touched on it a little bit, but the physical effects of not sorting yourself out when it comes to anxiety or seeking help.
The biggest one for me, I mean, if you look at the idea of things like irritable bowel syndromes and ulcers and high blood pressure and all that kind of stuff that are standard, the biggest one that seems to be hidden, and I wonder if there's a connection in this that no one's really taken up,
mm-hmm.
and it's to do with the fact that when you're anxious, what happens is the adrenaline and cortisol running through your system actually hardens your arteries.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder whether a lot of vascular dementias that we're getting with people in later life are people that have been anxious during their earlier years and have hardened their arteries.
Well, okay.
Is what I suspect, but that's a me.
As you could say, probably a decent theory.
Yeah. But I wonder whether if we looked at the correlations between anxiety and vascular dementias like that, I wonder whether we'd see a connection.
Mm.
Yeah. Good PhD project for somebody.
There you go. Well, just add to your list of things to do
before you die.
Pop your clogs. Don't get anxious about it. The list's getting bigger. You're running out of time.
Yeah. Is it the bucket list? Have you got a bucket list?
I haven't actually, no. I've got a list of things at the back of my journal, actually, that things I'd like to do.
Yeah.
But I haven't looked at it in a while, so I guess I'm not that focused on it.
Mm.
Living in the present, eh? Just taking it day by day.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm really enjoying being alive. It's good stuff. It's a good experience.
I have that effect on people.
It's just along with you. That's what it is.
Yeah. Is anxiety on the rise as well? I'm talking in terms of like expectations in society these days. Not that it's, I think, that new. I don't know, maybe the last 50, 100 years or so. You know, all of a sudden, when we're born, we're destined for greatness, aren't we? And then we're just constantly letting ourselves down when we're not prime ministers and presidents.
Is this a self-explanation?
Yeah. I'm not a movie star. I'm not a race driver. Oh, my word.
I am. Every time I look in the window, I'm like, oh, wow, that's a cool guy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? In terms of that sense of expectation that people place themselves under.
I sit in this chair, see, I see myself in the window over there. Because the clients sit where you're sitting, see.
Is that why you're always pruning?
I can see myself behind it. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I mean, I think that self-love, not arrogance, but appreciating yourself is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing yourself to be the star in your story, to be the main character in your book.
Yep.
Is important. You don't want to be a bit part player in someone else's story.
Sure.
Yeah, you need to be the hero in your own story.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, we can all be stars. We can all be film stars. Yeah.
Cool. So in terms of simple things you can do, assuming that perhaps medication isn't what's needed for you, and it might be, in which case, get some help. And
I think things like headspace meditation.
That's what I was getting at.
Mindfulness, yeah.
The same kind of old stuff we talk about.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
So true. But if you look at what are the signs of basic anxiety in the way we are? And I think these things are very real. When people aren't content with where they are and what they have, they want to change it.
Yeah.
And that could be the issue of new kitchens or whatever. But but it's also the issue of, do I need Botox? You know, do I need something injected in my lips? You know, do I need to look different? Do I need to pull this in, push that out, get new clothes? And it's the anxiety about not being happy with who you are and where you are.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you shouldn't get new clothes or you shouldn't get a new bathroom. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that it's when it becomes an imperative You know, and then I start to worry about it. And I look in the mirror and I think, oh, those wrinkles, oh, God, I need to have some Botox stuck in here.
I'm starting to see that. Oh, my word. But I'm comfortable with it. It's easier for us fellas, isn't it? We just kind of...
That rugged look.
Going grey on top, or it's too late for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I've probably got a few grey hairs, but blonde, so it's...
You're definitely going grey around the edges.
Yeah.
Definitely a badger.
Well, that was a few of my uni pals. We were all, just discussing that kind of thing. And one of my buddies, Nick, he's got quite a few grey flecks. But he looks quite cool with it, to be fair. and another one, Kev, my buddy, he's thought about adding a splash of colour to his just to kind of mask some. Because he's a personal trainer. He's got a gym in Newcastle doing well. So he's got to look the part, you know, because he's a walking advert.
Maybe he needs to shave his head. He can look bald and hard.
Oh, he looks super weird, Kev, with a shaved head.
I'm a wig.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you would like to say?
No, I'm good. I'm not anxious. I'm calm. But I do daily meditations and stuff like that. So yeah. I'm focused on the idea of being in the present, enjoying the present, and not worrying about what was. You know, the past, apart from the things that I can learn from it, is actually of no use to me to ruminate on.
Yeah.
And the future, I'm sure I will enjoy it when I get there, as long as I'm enjoying the moment now.
Sure.
Yeah, and if I'm in a plane that crashes later on this year, you'll have to carry on the podcast in your own.
I know, yes. Imagine that, actually. Jeez, I'd have to get someone else in.
Can you imagine having to make the announcement?
Yeah, Ree could do it.
Yeah.
Me and Ree. Yeah. Or find someone else.
Yeah. Maybe it could be you that's gone.
Yeah. Okay. In which case, you'd really be screwed.
Yeah, yeah. Ree said there's only one of you.
You've got no idea. I get this online every week. Get me. All right, what's your resource of the week, Sean?
It's a podcast called The Anxiety Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a neat little podcast where if you do have anxiety issues, worth focusing into, because it keeps you mindful of ways of overcoming anxiety.
Okay.
Which is a good little
The Anxiety Slayer, I like it. Brilliant. All right, mine is a long form blog post, and I only found it last night, and I must admit I haven't read all of it because it's that long, but I'm going to, and it's fascinating about a group of guys in California who are kind of thinking about redesigning death in the sense of...
Redesigning death, I love that.
Yeah, well, the subline is a legendary design firm, a corporate exec and a Buddhist hospice director take on the end of life. And it's amazing article. Right. About how it just needs to be... Death almost needs to be rebranded, almost.
Yeah, yeah, I get with that. We shouldn't be fearful of death. We should be moving towards it with a sense of
which, in terms of anxiety, is probably a massive part of the puzzle. How many people just aren't prepared for the end, really?
Yeah.
When it's the one thing that is going to happen to all of us.
Depends on your belief structures. It could be the end, or it could be the beginning of the end, or the end of the beginning.
Yeah. So have a look at that.
Yeah.
livingthepresent.co.uk for all the links we've mentioned.
Yeah.
Some meditation files that we like to give away free of charge if you put your email address in the box at the top of the site. Aren't we nice?
We are. We're good chaps.
And next week we're talking about intolerance, fear of outsiders, fear of others, that kind of thing. So it's probably going to get a bit political.
And that's very topical in terms of Britain and the elections coming up. And we have UKIP on the climb and stuff like that.
Yeah, although they have the latest poll, they've just polled below the Lib Dems, poor Lib Dems. That says a lot about both sides, actually.
UKIP, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think maybe they're getting more airtime than they deserve, to be honest. But let's talk about intolerance next week, Sean.
Okay.
Because I'm getting a bit anxious because we've got to record it now, actually, for a little secret podcast of ours. We've got to record it right now. We've got an hour.
Okay, we're on it. We're on the case.
Okay, Sean, have a good week.
And you.
Everyone else, take it easy.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.